Isn't God good? God is more than enough. As I was studying, we kind of traded off on some things. So Cindy is working on something, and she said, well, I'll work on this if you'll speak Wednesday night. So it was kind of easy for me. I've been studying anyway. And hopefully I'm in the right place. But as I've been studying, probably the last 2 weeks in my study time, I just kept going back to the saying of, your will be done. I'm at a season in my life that I think more than any other time, I want to please God over everybody else or anybody else. I want to be pleasing to Him. We're facing a lot of issues in the world that we're living right now. We don't understand a lot of things. How could it go so far out of control so quickly? Well, I believe that's just Bible unfolding in front of us. And I know there's a lot of theologians that are arguing that even now and saying, well, everybody's hung up on Bible prophecy and they really, this is just the way it's going to be and the way it's going to go. But if you read the book and you don't try to dissect it to the point that it has no meaning anymore, and you allow Holy Spirit to speak into your heart when you're reading that book, you'll see the signs of the times are here. And if there was ever a time we need to cry out, God, your will be done, it's the day we're living in, to understand that God is moving and ministering. If you have your Bible, I'm going to ask you to go to Matthew, the 26th chapter, verses 36 down through 41. And it simply says this, then Jesus came with them to a place called Gethsemane and said to his disciples, sit here a while while I go over here and pray. And he took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee, which were James and John, and he began to be sorrowful and was deeply distressed. And then he said to them, my soul is exceedingly sorrowful, even to death. Stay here and watch with me. And many translations put that as pray with me. He went a little farther and fell on his face and prayed, saying, oh, Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me. But nevertheless, not as I will, but as you will. Then he came to the disciples and found them sleeping and said to Peter, what? Could you not watch with me just 1 hour? Watch and pray, lest you enter into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. This could be probably the most critical point of Jesus's earthly life, the Garden of Gethsemane. And when we think about gardens, most of the time we think about gardens of beauty and fragrance and flower gardens and the things that we plant and we watch them grow and we enjoy those things. And we think about the gardens and the many flowers that are coming out of those gardens. And most people like roses. Most ladies like roses. It is known as the Queen of Flowers. It's the emblem of love. The lily is the emblem of majesty, and people love lilies and look at them. And there's also was a hanging garden in Babylon where it was said that the beauty was to behold, that there was nothing like it. It wasn't many years ago that we visited a botanical garden, I guess is what it's called, and they had all kinds of flowers and plants, and I got intrigued beyond them when I began and we walked into this area that had all of these different varieties and kinds of butterflies that were in there, and they'd come land on you, and they'd come over here, and they'd come, I mean, it was a unique place, but what was the most thing about that place was the beauty that it beheld. The beauty that was there in those gardens that we can go see today or we can plant and we love the aroma and the fragrance and we like the delight they give us and the inspiration that they give us and all of those things that are found in the garden. But of all the gardens of all the world, the one that surpasses all of them is simply the Garden of Gethsemane. And it's not known for its beauty. It's not noted for its roses or its lilies or carnations or butterflies. In fact, it's simply noted for the glory that was beheld in the Garden of Gethsemane. The glory that occurred in that place. There is nothing like the glory of God. We've just got a snippet this evening of the glory of God. The word says, eye hath not seen, ear hath not heard, neither has it entered into the heart of man the things that the Lord has prepared for those that love him. Wouldn't it be awesome? Now we've had a wonderful time in the presence of God, and I still feel him. I don't think he's left the building just because we've sat down to hear his word for a moment. But wouldn't it be awesome? And I know we've had some powerful services. I know this evening has been a great onset to what God has. But wouldn't it be awesome to just be able to come into a place and be of one mind and one accord even before we got here, and to experience the glory of God in a way that we have never experienced him before? Just to experience the goodness of God. I'm telling you, the weight of this world can overwhelm you at times, and anxiety is at an all-time high, and people are walking around anxious about everything. And then on the other side of that spectrum, depression is at an all-time high as well. And it's not that everybody has become bipolar in it. It's that the world is fighting for the souls of men. The world is in chaos. The world is trying to drag people down, and yet God has already lifted us up out of the depths of the mire and the muck of this world. But wouldn't it be wonderful if we could just come and just know that God is right here, his glory, to set in his glory, to feel his glory, to feel the weights of the world just lift up and lift off. You see, whenever we study about the Garden of Gethsemane, we're reading here out of the scripture in Matthew, and it says that Jesus goes to the Garden of Gethsemane. It's after the Last Supper. It's after they have sung a hymn, and he's washed the disciples' feet, and Judas has already left the building to betray him, and now they're going to pray. They're really in disbelief. If you study the scripture, they don't believe, they don't fully understand that Christ is leaving the way that he's going to leave. They don't really understand the events that are about to take place, the uncertainty there that Judas is going to betray him. And now he's telling them, the hour has come that I'm going to fulfill the will of the Father. And they don't fully grasp that. And how many knows that sometimes to fulfill the will of the Father, sometimes we just don't grasp what God is doing. We like to know what's going on. We'd love to know the finish. But the problem with us knowing the finish, we may never start if we know the finish. But see, Jesus knew when he left the splendor of heaven and came as a babe in a manger, and spent his life doing good and launched into his ministry doing miracles and signs and wonders and all of those things that he did that we read about. He knew from the very beginning that the will of the Father was that he would give his life for you and for me, for those that were there. And yet on the route to get there, he had to go to the Garden of Gethsemane. He had to go from an evening with friends, with his disciples, with those that honored him, loved him, worshiped him, would do anything for him save Judas. And Judas is now out of the picture. And he takes and he walks to the garden. But the Bible says that he takes Peter, James, and John about a stone's throw away from all the others. And he says, I want you to watch and pray with me. I want you to watch. I want you to be alert. I want you to be on guard. Can I tell you, I believe with all of my heart, if there was ever a season in the church, reading church history, understanding some theology, understanding the church as a whole, if there was ever a time we need to be watching and praying. Not that he's going to be crucified, but he's coming again. This is the hour the church needs to be alert to the moving and the ministry of Holy Spirit. This is the hour that I believe we can be caught slumbering and sleeping. We can become the 10 virgins, that 5 were wise and 5 were foolish. We can become that inner circle of the 3 that Jesus said, I want you to come a little closer with me, and I want you to watch and pray, because the hour is going to come here that they're coming after me. I want you to watch and pray that you don't enter into temptation. Well, what is Holy Spirit saying in the hour we're living right now? We're just like the 10 virgins. The church is in that point that everybody has been invited. Everybody received invitation. Everybody has come to the waiting place that the Lord is about to come, that the bridegroom is about to come for his bride. But we have to decide, are we going to be wise with what we know, or are we going to be foolish? Are we going to fill our lamps and the little crews that we might carry with us? Are we going to fill that to full and overflowing? Are we going to get in when God does something like tonight in a group and not worry about what anybody thinks, not hold back, but say, God, here am I. God, whatever you will, whatever you want. God, I don't know what tomorrow is going to face. I don't know what's going to happen tomorrow, but God, I need my tank full. I need filled up. God, it doesn't matter if that oil of the Holy Spirit is dripping off of me when I leave here. It doesn't matter if I feel like it has run over me like it ran over Aaron, even his beard, even to his feet, that wherever he went, he left a trail of the oil that was poured over him. God, it doesn't matter to me. In fact, Lord, I desire that wherever I go, there is a tangible evidence left behind that I have been there and I've been with Jesus. And the church waited, those that were invited, the wise, the foolish, the virgins waited for the bridegroom to come. And we're in a waiting pattern right now. And the Bible says, while they were waiting, what did they do? They slumbered and went to sleep. Isn't it amazing? Now think about this. Jesus pulls his inner circle, Peter, James, and John, and says, I want you to come a little closer, and I'm going to go ahead and go over here and pray, but I want you guys to watch and pray while I'm praying. And what did they do? They fell asleep. Now, what does he say later in Scripture? He says, the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. Isn't it amazing how much we like sleep? And I go home tonight, I'll sit down in the recliner. We're probably going to turn the TV on, and she'll be talking to me, and I'll be. She'll tell you that. I go home on Sunday afternoon, I get in my little recliner, I turn the little heat thing on, I turn the little vibrator thing on that's in it, and she'll watch a whole movie. And I'll wake up and say, yep, that was good. I look down and I make sure it says Hallmark. We love sleep. I sleep now more than I've ever slept. But we're prone to give in to that flesh. How many knows when you start praying, you think of a whole lot of things that you need to be doing? A whole lot of people that you ought to be talking to and visiting, and a whole lot of housework that needs to get done, or work outside, or things that you've kind of put off. All of a sudden, when you begin to pray, other things get magnified in your mind and sometimes in your spirit. Or you go to sleep. You get tired. You run out of things to pray about, to think about it. And even years later, they give the story of the 10 virgins that are there. And he talks about it, or it was years before maybe, that he had talked about it. And he said, while the virgins were invited, they were ready, they knew why they were there, they were waiting on the bridegroom to come, they just didn't know what hour it would be, and all of a sudden in the waiting, they got tired. And while they were getting tired and sleeping and laying around and all of that, guess what? Their lamps were still burning. But for 5 of them, Their lamps were burning out. For five wise, they still had oil to put in their lamps. They came prepared. God, prepare us for such a time as this with fresh oil from heaven. Prepare us, Holy Spirit. Fill us to overflowing. I know it's been a waiting season. I know it's been a waiting time. I've heard Jesus is coming since I was a little boy. I've heard it through the latter 60s and early 70s. I've said it before. It seemed like it was every sermon that somebody was preaching. It was about the Lord could come at any moment. And then we hit the latter 70s, 80s, 90s, and we put Jesus on the shelf and nothing's going to happen. The church has went the way it went. It has went to sleep. And now we're seeing events that is waking us up. And I believe it's not going to be long that we hear the Holy Spirit say, get up, make yourself ready, for behold, the bridegroom cometh. And the Bible says when they heard that, they got up and they realized that some of their lamps were going out. They weren't prepared like they thought or they needed to be prepared. And so they look at the wise, the foolish looks at the wise and says, give us from your oil. Let us have a little bit. Can I tell you, you're not going to be able to live off of somebody else's experience. It's wonderful. It is wonderful. I don't even know how to put this in the right context. It is wonderful. I look back over my history, and I'm only going to use me, and I know my grandmother Shreve prayed for me when I was a little boy. She attended this church till her dying day. I know she prayed for me as a little boy. I know that. I know somewhere if God stores up prayers in heaven and they come back down sometime, somewhere in life, I know I've been covered by her prayers. I know my mama has prayed for me over the years. I know that. I know I have been covered by those prayers. But can I tell you something? Those prayers cannot save me. They can keep me. They can protect me. But you can't get by on what somebody else's experience is. It's good to look at people. It's good to watch people. It's good to understand their commitment. I've had people look at my mom, and I've had them say this. They've said it to me, and I've heard them say it to her. I just wish I could have the experience with the Lord that you have. Are you willing to walk the road that she walks and walked? I'm only speaking that because I know some of the road. I don't know it all. But I know some of the road that she's walked. I'm not going to reveal it, but it's not always pretty. But what I can tell you is as she walked that road, she never let go of the hand of Jesus. In fact, there were times she would cling with both hands. There's times she crawled up into his lap or on his back and said, I can't do this. You're going to have to carry me. I understand that. You see, I don't desire to be what somebody else's relationship with God is. I envy it sometimes. I look at it. I admire it. I think, man, that is wonderful. I talked to her not long ago, and I said, you know what? We need to have you get up and testify, and I want you to testify to this. You've never, anything I know from the time she got saved, I don't think she's ever wavered in her faith. And I said, Mom, you, even now, fixing to turn 90, she can't be here all the time. And every time we go over to her house, we did the other day, she'll say, I just hate to miss, but I just can't get up and do what I used to do. And this is what I've had to tell her. And I'm not meaning this funny. I'm not meaning it any way other than knowing my mom. And I said, Mom, I said, God is not mad at you for missing. And I'm not. I get it. And he certainly gets it. He knows her. But what I do understand, as much as I admire her relationship with the Lord, as much as I've watched it over the years, I'm not saved by that. I can ask her to borrow some of that oil. And you know what my mom would tell me? get on your knees and get your own oil. She would tell me that now. She would say, get the relationship you want with God now. Get right with God now. Get your lamp full. Get your cruise full. You're not going to be able to make it on mine. And that's what happened with the virgins. There was 10, five wise, five foolish. And the foolish said, why don't you give us some of yours? And they said, no, we can't do that. Because if we give you our oil, then our lamps are going to go out and we're all going to go out and there won't be enough for the feast. The party won't be lit up. But instead, go out and find your own. That's what mom would tell me. Get in an altar of prayer and get where you need to be with God. Get to what's running out of you. Get with Holy Spirit and let the Holy Spirit move in your life and begin to pray and begin to seek God. Don't rely on somebody else's relationship or oil they have of Holy Spirit, but get where you need to be with God. And it says, while the foolish went out to look for that oil, there came a cry at midnight. And folks, I'm going to tell you, there is not one prophecy that has to be fulfilled that eastern sky could split open. The Holy Spirit is moving, and He is the pre-runner of the Lord, and He is moving. And He is trying to wake the church up. He is trying by dreams and visions and signs and wonders and movings, just like we had in this building. He is trying to stir the hearts of men to be ready. You say, my goodness, look at all the chaos in the world. Can I just tell you, I get to that limit like everybody else with chaos. I don't like watching the news, although you have to watch the news at some point to know what's going on. I don't like to hear the reports. I don't like the political pulse of this country right now. I don't like a lot of things, and it's not even about D.C. I don't like a lot of things that are creeping in right to Garrett County. But I can't be an ostrich with my head buried in the sand, nor do I rely on everything I hear or see. I've got to keep my focus on Jesus because He's fixing to come. But in all the circumstances that are going on that is shaking this world, all of the things that are taking place, it should not cause us to want to go do our own thing or go have one last fling or go do something that's going to try to satisfy. It ought to cause us to call on the name of the Lord to make sure. It ought to become an image or a mirror that we reflect to see where we are at and where we're lining up with the Word of God. Because He's calling to us, saying, get ready. Behold, the bridegroom's coming. And I'm going to tell you, I don't know what can be much louder in the day we're living. I don't know what we want. I don't know if we want a ball bat to hit us between the eyes. I don't know if we want another catastrophe like we had at 9/11. Because we've certainly fallen asleep about that. I don't know what we need to happen in our world as individuals and as a country that shakes us to a place that we're watching and waiting. It says, while the foolish were out trying to find oil, the bridegroom came, and those that were waiting, those that were ready, those that were there, went in with them, and the door was shut, and no man could open it. Now, I want to tell you something. When Jesus comes, it's going to be like that, only faster. It's going to be in the twinkling of an eye at the last trump of God, that trumpet's going to sound, and time will be no more. And the church will be raptured out of here. Amen. The dead in Christ will rise first, and then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up to be with the Lord in the sky, and we will be there forevermore. So all the saints that have went on to their reward, I don't know how that works. That's God's thing. They're going to come up out of that grave. They're going to come up out of the sea. They're going to come up out of wherever they were, and they're going to be reunited with their body and their glorified body. But they're going to beat us. And then we who are alive and remain will go to be with him. The question is, are we really ready? Are we watching? Now, let me go back, because I'm way off of Matthew 26. The disciples were there in the garden with Jesus, but they weren't alert. They knew something was going to happen, but they weren't alert. And while Jesus was praying with such agony, the Bible says that he prayed in such agony that his sweat became as great drops of blood. And Dr. Mark Dominic does a phenomenal job of going through the medical thing to explain that. I can't even pronounce those words, so we're not even going to attempt anything like that. He does a phenomenal job explaining that truly can happen, that your body can be under such a weight and such stress that it literally does something and that your sweat can become as blood. And he's over here agonizing, pouring himself out, and all of a sudden, he goes over, and they're sleeping, and he wakes them up. And he says, could you not watch with me just 1 hour? Could you not just pray with me for 1 hour? My time has come. My time's about to be fulfilled. But could you not just wait and watch and pray? And he goes back to pray again. And they go to sleep. And then he comes back and he says, the flesh is willing. Or no, the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. And church, I've committed my mind and my spirit and hopefully my ministry. I'm not trying to beat anybody down. I'm really not. But are the things of Christ at such a point of concern for us today that we just go to sleep when it's not an emergency in our life? It's not urgent to us. There's a lot of needs that are even here tonight, and people have prayed, and thank God that we have a church that's not afraid for somebody to go lay hands on somebody and pray and join hands and pray. And I know since COVID, we haven't done a lot of that. I'm hoping we can break that COVID attitude, atmosphere out of our minds as a church and get back to being the church that God called us to be. I know it's real. I know it was real. We lost a lot of dear loved ones. I'm not slighting that. I'm not saying that none of that happened and it wasn't real. But what I'm telling you is the power of God is more real than anything the enemy can put in this earth, regardless of how it comes. That God is still greater. God is still on the throne. Jesus is over there and he's praying again, and the Bible says the angels come to minister to him and they strengthen him. And he gets up out of there because he says, not my will. Father, if it would be possible to remove this cup, that I don't have to go through this. Nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done. And in this season of life, we have not always understood the things that are going on. In fact, we've walked through some things that we've said, God, could you do this a different way? God, do we really have to go this direction? Do we really have to feel abandonment in the midst of all of this? Now, you think about it over the last few years. You think about it. People talk about it, but do we really let it ponder for us at times? You think about the number of people that ended up in the hospital and died alone. Don't you imagine that they may have had a cry in their heart that said, God, can't this be different? Can't I be with my family? The people that were on the other side of the door, the window, the families. I've talked to some. And they never could understand or grasp. Couldn't it have been different that they could have at least been with them to hold their hand? And we don't understand things like that. Was it the will of God? Was it the will of man? I'll leave that open to your opinion and all that. I'm not sure God always wills those type of things. I think man intervenes there. But Jesus was at a point he understood that he had to fulfill the will of the Father. And he knew it was going to cost him his life. And church, I'm going to tell you, in order to truly fulfill the will of the Father, it cost us. Oh, I know salvation is freely given unto those that believe. It's not by works that we're saved, but it's through the grace of God. I get it. But Paul said that we're to die daily. We're to die to self daily. We're to pick up that cross and follow him. In other words, every day at some point we are to say, God, I may not get it, but your will be done. God, your will be done. God, whatever you're doing in my life in this season, whatever it is, I don't want to be slumbering and sleeping. I don't want to sleep through it and miss it, but God, whatever it is, your will be done. And we don't always understand it at that moment. We don't always have the ending at the beginning of the journey, because for most of us, we'd have never took the first step in the journey, because the road's not always easy. It's not always smooth. But God knows everything about our life. Jesus had to go through the Garden of Gethsemane. And I say this not with reservation. I try to temper it, but it probably won't sound it. But every one of us, as a child of God, will find ourselves somewhere at some point, sometime, right in the middle of that garden as well. Where we have a crossroads in our life that we're either going to surrender everything to God and say, God, if there's any other way, I'd prefer that, but if there's really not, then it's not my will, your will be done. And I truly believe we have to walk that out and surrender it to God. But what I do know is God is faithful. Just as he was faithful to the Son, he will be faithful to you and me. And he will see us through. And when we can't do it on our own, he will carry us through that to the end. And he is coming. He is coming. I'm going to ask you to bow your head for just a moment tonight. Father, I pray right now. God, I just pray that even though many times when we reflect on Gethsemane, Jesus being in the midst of the garden, we think of the doom and the gloom of all that transpired. But God, I pray that after tonight we will understand that that's where your glory rests upon him, to strengthen him, to encourage him, to give affirmation to him. And Lord, even though in our humanness, our weakness, in the times that the load gets heavy, God, we may falter. We may slumber, we may sleep, we may stumble, we may fall. But you have always been there and always been faithful. And God, I pray that if there's anyone here tonight that just needs the assurance that you're with them, they may be going through a season, a time that they have to surrender and just say, God, whatever it is that your will, that's what I want done in my life. I want us to be able to leave here knowing that we've been able to surrender that.